coming to you live from inside the globe, perched high atop the Bugle Planet building in sunny Gotham City. It's Hey Kids Comics with two guys who are always ready to seduce the innocent, your hosts, Andrew Farmer and the Jedi Cole Houston. And now it's time for Hey Kids Comics.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to Hey Kids Comics. We are on issue 242, if you can believe that. 242, eight away from 250.
I'm ready to believe you.
My body is ready. My body is ready for 250. I'm Andrew Farmer, as always, with me, your other host, the Jedi Cole Houston.
Naturally.
Damn it. It's going to be one of those shows, isn't it?
It's just I'm not wearing any clothes. I'm going to do the show naturally.
Oh, you're al dente. All right, that's fine. With us tonight, we have 242 issues into this show. It has been an oversight that we have not had this gentleman and film scholar on the show prior to this. PJ Dunn's joining us tonight, the Vega Bomber himself. Often podcaster, contributor to the Jedi Cole universe, and just all around internet maven when it comes to this kind of thing. So we could not be more thankful to have him joining us on this show. As we discuss tonight, DC Films. So I hope everybody's ready.
Just the other day, Mr. Jedi Cole and I went and saw a movie with PJ. We went and saw Dunkirk. And this is equally as thrilling to me.
You went and saw PJ Dunkirk?
Yeah, we saw PJ Dunkirk. He's doing fine.
Okay, good.
And we went to go see the movie Dunkirk, which was a strange irony in its own right.
It's a weird thing. So I gotta start this way, okay? I was coming into this.
Okay.
Two weeks of doing research and looking at this, and I was going to come open-minded and present some thoughtful questions about these films. Legitimately, like, hey guys, what are we using as a litmus test to prove that these movies are bad? You know, we all talk about the fact that they might be bad, they might be good. What are we using? Are we comparing them to the Marvel films? Is that really fair, all things considered? But after this last week we have, the only real question I have to jump as a jumping off point for this entire issue is, what the hell is going on at Warner Brothers right now? So much has happened in the last week, and I want to get both of your feelings on why it's happening.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm getting stuff just on a constant from Andy. Yeah.
Yes, you are.
I think somebody, the Warner spies that listen in and listen to all the good ideas I have and then ignore them, they knew we were doing this episode. They wanted some grist for the mill on the off chance we couldn't find enough to talk about. They're jealous of what Marvel has. And, you know, this beyond the facetious notion that anybody's listening from Warner, because we all know people at Warner don't listen.
It's a good joke.
But, you know, I think that literally it's like this weird zeitgeist that, you know, were we absent anything to talk about after gushing about Marvel? They're giving us so much to play with here. And one of the things that strikes me most is Warner is amping up their game. They've always done this. We've always had these goofball announcements. Halle Berry is Catwoman. Jack Black in the comedic mask-inspired Green Lantern.
Yeah.
We don't know what the hell we've got our hands on.
It's literally Somebody's telling us
we're sitting on a gold mine and like some sort of imbecilic...
Them boys got a raccoon under a stew pot.
Yeah, it's like this strange lobotomized Uncle Scrooge that doesn't, like, you know, doesn't go swimming in his money.
They got Warner Brothers.
I don't think Warner Brothers has a. Do they have a Kevin Feige at all over there? Because
no.
If they do, there must be the Witness Protection Program. I've never heard of them.
No, PJ, I think their Kevin Feige is Zack Snyder.
Oh God!
I know, right?
That's the problem.
And I'm not. I'm kind of not kidding about that because it was supposed to be Geoff Johns the writer, you know, the Flash writer, the Green Lantern writer, the guy that was running the show for DC Comics for so long. That's who it was supposed to be. And then they kind of kicked him out with this last one of the pieces of news in the last 2 weeks was the script for Batman that was written by Ben Affleck, you know, Emmy award winning Ben Affleck, Oscar award winning Ben Affleck, and Geoff Johns, the guy who has led DC to comic book supremacy for the past 6 years. For real,
I think the problem was he went into Warner, you know, the Warner suits and said, "I'm your Fieggy Berry."
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And he had the mustache too.
Yeah, right? And the sweet little goatee.
Yeah, it was rough. But I think that's the problem. But what are your feelings, PJ, on all of the stuff that we're seeing since, you know, honestly, it hasn't just been in the last 2 weeks. It's been pretty steady for like the last year almost.
Yeah. Well, my feelings are I just really believe that they don't have a plan, which is pretty clear. We can see that. And I don't understand why when you take something like Superman and you put it out there, why you didn't try to put little Easter eggs in Superman for the Justice League, you know, knowing that Marvel obviously has a good setup with how they want to do their movies. And then you put out something like Batman v Superman, and then you see this desperation because you see that, hey, well, now we got a Dawn of Justice. And then you see, oh, we got to put Wonder Woman in it. And it's like you just see almost this desperation because I think Man of Steel didn't do as well as they thought. And in fact, when was the last time Warner Brothers had a billion-dollar film? I think it might have been The Dark Knight Rises. Yep. Otherwise than that, you know, Marvel has several. So,
well, actually, Warner did have a mega-buck film. It was called Wonder Woman. Yeah. It bucked every tradition at Warner, and it will be flatly ignored for its successes.
That's absolutely true, actually.
Yeah, but it still hasn't hit a billion yet. That's the thing, though, and I think that's the new thing now. Now, superhero movies, not that I agree with it, unless it hits a billion.
Nobody cares.
Yeah, for some weird reason. And I don't know if Warner Brothers is looking at that, and they got so scared, because I think Superman, Man of Steel, only did like about $750 million.
Yep.
And, you know, and I thought they were thinking, well, wait a minute, this should have been an Iron Man 3, because Iron Man 3 at that time did do a billion. It's the only solo Marvel film that did do a billion. The rest of the Marvel films were team films that hit a billion.
Yeah, that's because we all got duped by Iron Man 3.
Hey, I still love it. It's still one of my favorite Marvel movies for that reason, because they got me. I've been a comic book fan for how long now, and they got me, and I was excited. People were pissed off. I was excited. I'm like, they did it. They tricked me. I want more of this. But no, PJ, you used the – I think you hit it on the head for me, is that everything that I've seen come out, with the exception of Wonder Woman, right?
Yeah.
Wonder Woman is it's on its own plateau over here, apparently not going to be touched by Marvel or by the rest of the DC proper. It stinks of desperation.
Mm-hmm.
Like
when
you watched, you know, BVS or Superman didn't, because I think that they still had, you know, they believed that a man could fly into the $1 billion zone at that point. And when that didn't happen, they went nuts trying to do Suicide Squad, BVS, getting ready for this, like, and it's just, it smells, you go see these movies, and it smells of desperation.
Yes.
Absolutely, and they don't, you know, Suicide Squad is a wonderful example of how they can't even agree on a viable universe.
Right.
Suicide Squad belongs nowhere in the rest of the universe they've created.
Yes.
There's
yeah.
no synergy. There's no glue. Mm-hmm. They want so much to have what Marvel has. They look jealously at what they've done, and they're like, well, we're not going to do that.
Yeah.
Suicide Squad, for my money, was everybody was saying for Marvel, you know, every time there's a Marvel movie, and even up to now when there's a Marvel movie, is this the one? Is this the one that fails? When is that? And it's, you know, it's a law of diminishing returns. Eventually, they think one has to fail. Is this the one that's going to fail? Suicide Squad.
Well, they asked the question: is this the one that's going to be a Warner film?
Suicide Squad was, and I say this honestly, it was a I actually, unpopular opinion, I enjoyed the movie Suicide Squad. The movie itself. You know, I didn't enjoy I didn't enjoy the universe they were trying to build with it, but when I just watched the movie, I liked the portrayal of Amanda Waller. I liked a lot of the different, I liked the Deadshot portrayal I did, but it's the lowest stakes comic book film that you could have. You didn't have to worry
everything about it.
It's in the title. It's in the title of the movie.
Yeah.
And they still managed to drop the ball.
And also, the big thing there was, for me, is it seemed like it was on the cheap, on, for lack of a better term, on so many levels. Because, among other things, you have... When they first come out with the big splash, and here's the production shot of all the principal characters all lined up, walking the, you know, like a screenshot from Warriors.
Right.
Mm-hmm. It's like, you know, we're the Suicide Squad gang. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, so you've effectively done is, hey, guess what, cosplayers? We made it easy for you. It looked like a damn group cosplay at San Diego Comic-Con. And I wouldn't be surprised if we saw it. It could not have been a simpler bunch of costumes. You know, Annie had coined the term Cape Fear. Cape Fear. You know, we're so terrified of making comic book characters look like comic book characters. I felt no connection to anybody. I loved when Jared Leto was cast as a Joker until I saw pictures of, I'm like, this is not the Joker.
No, you're
this
right.
This is a joke.
Well, boy, yeah. So PJ, being a regular purveyor of film and somebody who looks at these things pretty critically, mm-hmm. what was the Suicide Squad to you in terms of DC movies?
I felt like the Suicide Squad was a little better in terms of what I saw in Batman v Superman, but I think where I lost it with Suicide Squad was the ending. And it seems like this is actually happening to all superhero movies, but with DC it seems to be more pronounced, and that is the beginning is like, hey, here's our good guy, and hey, here's our bad people. And then, well, shoot, we don't really quite know what to do in the third act. So, you know, in the third act, let's just have everything go haywire. And for whatever reason, if you notice this, there's always like blue swirling lights. That happened in the Ghostbusters film with the girls. There, what is it about, like, we don't know quite what to do. It was even in Wonder Woman to a small degree at the end where it was these flashing blue lights and then always has that.
You're right.
I don't know what that is. So there's something weird there. But I would say that Suicide Squad for me could have been set up better by Batman v Superman. Here's the missed opportunity with Batman v Superman. Since they did show Robin's suit in the Batcave, it with the ha 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 written all over it, instead of showing us another origin story of Batman, it's nice if they'd have just kind of did a little bit of a lead up to the Joker, because he's going to be in Suicide Squad. So the problem is that to me, Suicide Squad doesn't have the connective tissue that Marvel is so great at. Like, Marvel's great at connecting stuff and putting it together, and I think we kind of expect DC to do the same since it's comic books and they do have a connection. But the problem was, they just said, hey, we'll just do Batman v Superman with some connective tissue, but then here comes Suicide Squad. And they missed that opportunity to tie the Joker in, which is probably the most famous villain that they have right now. So I thought that was horrible.
It's true. But my question is, okay, so Suicide Squad for me was simply a Joker-Harley origin story.
Yeah.
At the end of the day, that's what it was. They were setting up the everything that they're going to sell in licensing and franchising and Hot Topic with that film. And I don't say that as in a bad way. That's what movies are supposed to be. We talked about it last show. They're no longer is DC and Marvel, are they comic book companies, right? Now they are franchise licensing companies. They do all of it. So you've got to do that, but you got to do it well if you want Guardians of the Galaxy money. If you want group money, you got to do that well. And they didn't do it well.
And I think that is ultimately the Gordian knot here that Warner can't seem to unravel. Make good movies. and I've said it again and again, I'm going to beat this dead horse to pulp, is it began with The Dark Knight. The Dark Knight made a fortune, and Warner said, that's what sells. That's our formula. People want dark, brooding, you know, just overcast superhero films.
Mm-hmm.
Let's kill this fun, family-friendly Shazam movie that could have been really cool. Because people don't want that. They want dark. No, they don't. They want good movies. It's like people when you send an email with like seven paragraphs and they zero in on half of one sentence in their reply. It's like, no, you missed it. Everything we put in front of you. Make good movies and they will come.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Or pull a fast one like Iron Man 3.
Hey, you know what? Iron Man 3 was a fine film. All right, it was.
No, oh no.
It was a fine film. It had what's his name in it? Guy Pearce. I like Memento over there. We got a really good heroic story arc from Jon Favreau in that film, which kind of led us right up to what we saw in Spider-Man: Homecoming.
Yes, indeed.
We got to see. The tinker inventor Stark instead of the, you know, billionaire playboy Stark, which I liked.
He was put in a position to go back to his roots, and it also justifies him, you know, bitching to Peter Parker about it. You know, if you're nothing without the suit, then you're nothing, because he can back that up twice.
It also gave me the ability to get a Ben Kingsley action figure, which can stand right alongside of my Tony Hopkins action figure and my Kate Blanchett action figure. I'm going for the Emmy winner star in comic books, Quadrafecta.
Academy favorites. When are we going to get our Tony Hopkins Odin?
Odin, yeah.
I still think that the Dame Judi Dench has to show up in a Marvel movie at some point, or that's their that's how they know they made it. They can make billions of dollars and have 15 superheroes in Infinity War, but until the Dame Judi Dench shows up at some point, you ain't nothing, pal.
Now watch Warner Hall off and sign Dame Judi Dench. That may be the saving grace. She'll be in Wonder Woman 2.
That brings me to a really important point and PJ, how do you feel about this? Right. So there's a difference in strategy between Warner and Marvel. Marvel hired the Russo brothers, who are TV comedy directors, to do their movies, which, you know, they started out, you know, and built an empire around that. Adam McKay was one of their directors. Right now they've got the guy who's doing Thor Ragnarok. You know, you've got these indie darling type directors on the Marvel side making movies. And then, I mean, you've got some big blockbuster names, but Favreau was one of those people. You know, he's not, you know, Swingers slash Chef. Those are not giant blockbuster, you know, you don't think about those names. And also, when you look at their stars in the Marvel movies up until recently, right?
Mm-hmm.
Chris
mm-hmm.
Evans, Hemsworth, we talked about this last time. Even Robert Downey Jr. was on the, you know, he was not the Robert Downey Jr. from the 80s or from the 2010s, you know, when he got hired as Iron Man.
That's right.
So basically what you're getting is these people you don't know, giving them a shot, like we talked about from the interview with Feige, was hold hands and jump out of the plane, right? Like just throw it against the wall, do it, you know, make art, and if you do it, people will love it if you do it right. On the Warner side, we just saw Scorsese sign to produce the Joker movie. We've got, you know, these huge directors and these huge actors coming out of the woodworks that have to be expensive as hell to put in these movies. So what do you see as the difference in strategy there, and why?
Well, again, I think it goes back to that desperation. For some reason, they're thinking they need to kind of beef it up a bit, buttress it further. But really what they need to understand, and I think your point is excellent, is that these are great and most beloved, you know, superhero characters of all time. You have Batman, you have Superman, you have Wonder Woman. it's almost like they don't believe that that's enough. And if they just market it creatively, then they can bring in these new faces. Because I'll tell you, what will happen is you don't want – Warner Brothers doesn't want the Samuel L. Jackson problem, right? Because right now he's in every movie, and every time I see him, I can't help but to see Nick Fury or Mace Windu. And that actually takes me out of the movie, right?
So, valid.
So Brothers needs to be careful, because if they try to put De Niro in there, and like, we're going to think of the Fockers, right? Meet the Fockers and everything. So, or we'll think about the gangster stuff he's done. But I don't know that that's a great idea. But it's, again, I really think that there's desperation, and they need to say, we need to hit something out of the park strongly. And I think they've done that with Wonder Woman. I think Wonder Woman was excellent, because it was kind of like, for them, Iron Man 1, really, in a way. It was just a great origin story that developed the characters, and then you had the big fight at the end, right? So I think, again, I don't know what it is that they're drinking over there at Warner Brothers, but I'm afraid.
I think really what it comes down to is they're looking for, especially if you look at Zack Snyder.
I don't want to.
I don't either, but they're looking at it like, oh, Zack Snyder, people go see his movies, so we need to get him to direct. And he directed Watchmen, so he obviously knows superheroes. And the thing is, that's kind of a hit-and-miss approach. For example, the great Stan Winston was approached for Terminator on the strength of Hollywood considered him the robot guy because he did the makeup effects for Heartbeeps.
Heartbeeps was a great movie.
It was a great movie.
Come on.
But, I mean, by his own admission, he couldn't believe that he got a reputation as the robot guy for Heartbeeps. And the thing is, you get these reputations. Sometimes they're justified, and we get gold. And sometimes, in this particular case, I'm sorry to all Zack Snyder fans. Zack Snyder doesn't know how to rein Zack Snyder in.
Yeah.
And that's his greatest weakness.
Yeah. No, I think you're right. I think you're completely right. And I think the other thing is I think Warner Brothers has a problem with their PR department. I mean, how do you let these articles get out that promote these things that aren't maybe necessarily true? And then how do you sign guys like, Fumaway, who was going to originally direct Flash, but then, no, he's gone now. And so I'm thinking, look, what's happening with your PR over there, Warner Brothers? You guys are letting stuff get out there and, you know, anything you put out there, attention is currency nowadays. And if it gets attention, people will talk about it, whether it's true or not true.
Okay, so that's a really valid point in that we don't see the same level of attention to Marvel films that we do to the DC films. And what I mean by that is this. So you've got the news in the last couple days that they're saying that the standalone Batman films – Batman's in the expanded universe, in the connected, you know, universe. Now, I went back and read that article.
Mm-hmm.
The guy that was giving the interview never actually said that. And if you read it, it reads like. It's definitely a gray area. Probably should have been asked to clarify what he was saying. But what someone did at, you know, superhero hype or at one of these websites that does this kind of reporting was pull that one line out and say, look, it says it right here. Batman is not going to be a part of the universe. The Batman in that universe is not going to be the same as the one in the solo films. Like it never said that though. So then that guy had to come back out today and reply to, you know, and defend his position and say, no, that's not what I said. I said that it's going to be the same Batman. It's just not, which is, by the way, what I'm about to say is hyper stupid on Warner Brothers' part, but I'm going to say it anyway. No, it's the same Batman. We're just not going to include anything from that universe in these solo stories. These are going to be solely Batman stories. It's the same Batman that's in there, but we're not going to let anything bleed in over in between them, which, by the way, is stupid.
Yes.
That's stupid. Yeah. But why is the DC universe getting that kind of media attention when the Marvel isn't, I guess is my question. Cole, what do you think?
I think it's because we're all casting about. We're all you know, grasping at straws. We want so badly.
Yeah.
Especially for those of us who have an equal love for Marvel and DC.
Yes.
Or have had history with both. And, you know, all of a sudden, here is this. We're living in the era where everything we ever wanted is possible.
Mm-hmm.
And Marvel Films, at least, is giving us everything we ever wanted. And Warner, who doesn't have to answer to anybody, they can just come and pluck their entire universe. It's all low-hanging fruit for them.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what it is. And I think part of that is there was never a direct connection between Warner owns DC and that's the end of it.
Mm-hmm.
We
mm-hmm.
like the money coming in. We don't know what the hell they're doing over there. It's a thing, right? They're like doing a funny books.
Don't ask questions. Just
keep the money train coming.
Yeah.
And it's like they still haven't figured it out. They don't really understand what they have or how to make it work or do anything with it. But one thing we do know is how to make movies.
Yeah.
And we'll be damned if we're going to let comic book people tell us how to make movies.
Right. I think you hit on something. That's exactly it right there. I think the people on the Marvel side, they were able to get people who were more, you know, like Favreau, he's a fan of comic books, right? Sure. I mean, we know that full on. And so, and I think Warner Brothers, what they're good at, they're just good at making a lot of money. And so I think to your point, Cole, that's exactly what's happening. They're just saying, you know what, we just throw a little bit of money at it. We put a budget on it. We tell them, hey, make sure that this trademark is in there because we paid for this trademark. It's on there. And then, you know, just get us somebody kind of, you know, that's, knows what they're doing a little bit, but then we can step in whenever we need to. And I think the difference with Marvel is you can tell by the way it's put together. Of course, now it's getting a little too crazy with all the nod, wink, winks, almost too much. It's like, we get it. We get that you guys know that we're comic book readers. But it's almost like DC could benefit if they actually understood the comics really well and said, no, let's keep that sacred, because the people that are going to come see this, sure, they're a small minority, but they'll tell all their friends, and that's who we're trying to sell to, is their friends. And if their friends think that their comic geek friend is on the cutting edge of something, people don't want to be left out of the conversation, so they'll come, and they'll have that one friend that's the nerd that can tell them everything that's going to happen in the movie because he's read the comic book already. Well, you can't do that really with a DC film because you have no idea where it's going to go. Whereas in Marvel, people kind of know already by now. It's like, you know what? I bet you Thor Ragnarok. I bet you they're going to pick up Planet Hulk. You know, you can just already see some things. And then people go, what's Planet Hulk? And then they start telling their friends. Their friends go into the comic book store because they want to kind of be up to date because people want to be in the conversation. Marvel does that well. DC, crickets.
And no, you make a very valid point there, because one of the things that, especially with Marvel Films, that franchise, considerably less so with some of the other, with Sony and Fox, where occasionally they'll like hide little nods, like, oh, here, we'll throw a little background, screenshot in for the fanboys. But for the most part, we won't acknowledge a greater universe.
Yeah.
But what the Marvel films did very well was ride that very tricky line between servicing the fanboys –
mm-hmm.
and servicing a greater film-going audience, the general public who aren't the fanboys, by making films that were approachable to the latter, but comfortable and familiar to the former, to the point where you don't have to be a super fanboy, but it wouldn't hurt. And the thing about it is, that's what Warner doesn't get.
Yes.
They're still making films. At the very beginning of this arc, we talked about how terrified, you know, as technology caught up to the superhero on film, how terrified studios were to be the comic book character.
Mm-hmm.
You know, even on television, we're finally getting to the point where television is acknowledging something else, that it's okay. But for the longest, you know, even television was terrified. You had a Flash 15 years ago or more?
Right.
Mm-hmm. You had a Flash television series
mm-hmm.
that only ever had one costume character for the longest, and Smallville perpetuated that mistake. Granted, by the time they got the idea, hey, you know, we could do a slow build, it was too little too late. And you're still getting this over at Warner. They're just they want to make these superhero films, but they just want to make regular movies that happen to have superheroes in them.
You're right. And you know what's ironic, too, is that the DC animated films are actually pretty good.
Yeah, I wanted to talk about that. That's where DC is. DC's killing it in TV, and DC's killing it in animated films. They just can't make the jump. So why do you think that is? Is that because I've watched – there is a box set coming out in November. I don't know if you've got – either of you have seen this or not. 30 of those DC animated films, and I've seen all of them, are coming out in a box set for Christmas in November, and I will own it because they're amazing movies.
They are great.
And I don't know. Cole, what do you think? Why do you think it is that they can do Flash and Arrow and the Legends of Tomorrow and Supergirl on TV and hit all the beats, hit their mark, do these animated movies like The Killing Joke and
Under the Red Hood.
I have your answer.
Okay, let's hear it.
The answer is incredibly simple.
Okay.
It's called structure. Warner Films, Warner Television, Warner Home Video. In other words, three entirely different departments, each with their own hierarchy, from president straight down to the guy that wipes out the toilets, nary the twain shall meet. You have a disconnect between these various departments or these various entities. They're all Warner. The money's all going into the same bag. But in the same way that, okay, with Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., a production of Marvel Films,
right,
in association with others, you have the Nick Fury or Lady Sif or other characters from the cinematic universe occasionally show up on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. You will never see anyone from Warner Films show up on any Warner television show. I can say that unequivocally.
Wow.
It's never going to happen.
Well, they won't even discuss moving them over. Yeah, they won't even discuss it.
You have an entirely different Flash.
Yep.
To start with. And that's the biggest FU to the fanboys right there.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, here is more than just anecdotal evidence. Here is a guarantor that these universes will never cross over with one another.
Well, Brian Gustin, the guy who the Flash, the TV Flash, is one of the most popular TV stars on the planet right now. Period. Most mm-hmm. recognizable, most popular, and that's not hyperbole, right? the guy who plays Arrow, Steve Amell, the guy who plays the Flash, are two of the most recognizable, most popular for a certain demographic. So, mm-hmm. what you're saying when you say, okay, we're gonna put a Flash in the movie that's not the same Flash as the one that everyone loves. Literally everyone probably – I think it's constantly in the top seven TV shows in its time slot whenever on the CW.
Yeah.
And a lot of times it's in the top three or four. And the same with Arrow and the same with any of those shows is we don't care about our fans. It's the way it reads. I'm not saying it's true, but I'm saying the way it reads is we don't care about the Flash that you love. We're going to give you Ezra Miller, who is either good or bad. I don't know. He's not like a horse face McGee Solo over there in those Star Wars movies, but he's close.
Hey.
What?
He was my number one choice of the original candidates.
Well, listen, if Kylo Ren ever needs a carrot, you can go feed it to him, but hold it in your hand still and under his nose.
You're talking about the guy that plays Han Solo in the upcoming
film. Oh, no. I love that guy. I love that guy. If you ever have seen – what was the name of that movie, PJ? What was the Coen Brothers film that just came out?
Oh, yes. And it's about
Hail Caesar.
Hail Caesar.
Yes. That's why
I wanted him for Solo. I'm like, oh, there's our Han Solo.
The kid that plays the singing cowboy is Han Solo, and that is absolutely perfect. I could not pick a better Yeah, no. Not him. I'm talking about the other Solo. I'm talking about, you know.
I'm talking about Benji. You're talking about, codename Stork.
Yeah, that class of actor is where Ezra Miller is coming from. It's that indie darling, you know, awkward kind of Flash, which, guess what? Flash is not awkward. I've never been in. He's the Flash. But
well, it's like MCU with Thor, right? Thor wasn't funny, but he's funny now.
Well, Thor was always in the comics. He was never funny. Is not the right word, right?
Yeah.
But Thor was always hungry for a fight. Have at thee, verily. You know.
Yeah.
I'm glad that they did a little more humor with the Thor in the Marvel universe, but I feel like they're getting all of their characterizations wrong. Because
yeah, well, frankly, Thor was going to be a hard sell, so they kind of had to tweak the character. Yeah.
It wasn't though when you're as hot as that guy is. Not a hard sell. That's going to bring the audience regardless. But they did a good job casting that in retrospect. But I feel like all of the characterizations that I'm seeing in these DC movies are wrong. Like really, they just didn't even bother to do a cursory amount of research on these characters. Like, if I'm watching like the trailer for the Justice League, when Batman's running around recruiting.
Yeah.
There are more scenes of Batman smiling about recruiting people into the Justice League than I've seen in 30 years of comic books where Batman has to deal with the Justice League. You know, in the comics, Batman hates being in the Justice League. As much as he feels he is necessary, he's not. He separates himself from the league itself. You know. It would be very hard for him to admit that there was a problem, which he had to go find these kids, these people, and put them into harm's way in order to fight, not smiling and laughing the whole time.
But you have to understand that what sells.
No,
why do we get Wolverine in the first X-Men movie? Wolverine sells.
Because Hugh Jackman is awesome.
Yeah. Doug Ray Scott, not so much so.
I still think it should have been Danzig, but that's me. that was some good casting right there. But, you know, Superman being so dark, right?
Yeah, I agree.
Aquaman being, hey, we got a Thor too. His name's Aquaman. Look at him. Wonder Woman is the only one that they got. Right. It feels like. Why do you think that is?
You know, I think, you know, Cole was talking about it. You know, they're trying to sell it and make it sexy. But I think if they just trusted the character, they'd see that things would be fine when it's beloved characters, right? So, for example, when you look at Star Wars, right? And so Luke, Leia, Han, there's actually some pretty funny scenes, but they're funny because you liked them and you cared about them. So when they started to say things funny, it was great. Now, in these situations, they're saying, okay, well, we've got to keep it light because Marvel keeps it light, but we don't want to keep it too light because we've got to keep it real dark. We've got to keep that tension. But that's a weird line that they try to straddle. I don't think that they need to do that. They just need to build the character. Like Wonder Woman, she was funny. I mean, I didn't think that the actress Gal Gadot, I really wasn't for her at first. You know, I was still one of those Linda Carter folks, but she won me over, right? She won me over, and I thought, you know what? I can see what Zack Snyder saw now with her. But you notice she wasn't trying to quip every 5 minutes.
Right.
And so
exactly.
Tension, real. And then because it was real, I could then feel her pain, even though I'm just sitting in a comfortable seat eating popcorn and drinking some Diet Coke while watching this film, right? So I think that's a part of movie making with superhero films. I think it's actually going to be a bigger problem because I think they don't know how to do the tones right. And when you don't do the tone right, then you can't get the character right. And if you can't get the character right and then they're not casted right, it's really visible to everybody then. You know what I mean? And so I think but with Wonder Woman, the tone was perfect. It didn't try to do too much. It stuck with what it needed to do bravely, whether people thought it was boring in the first few minutes because they weren't punching each other in the first 5 minutes a lot. People were willing to wait because they were being enthralled by the character development. So I think somebody figured that out. And that's why Wonder Woman, I think, stands head and shoulders above the rest because the rest of the DCEU movies, like I would say Batman v Superman, I was disappointed because I thought Batman and Superman, that should have been played like the way in Daredevil, the way Daredevil and Punisher got along. That's what it should have been about. It should have been about their two ideals. Batman's too dark, and Superman should have been fun, but he wasn't.
No, dark. You can't have fun Superman anymore. You can't have, what should have happened in that movie is you juxtapose
yes.
the beautiful, bright steel and chrome of Metropolis
yes.
against the dark and ancient, aged city in decline that somehow, just propped up by the Wayne Foundation that is Gotham.
Yes.
And you don't get that. They're both equally dark and dingy and shadowy, and Superman wears, his color scheme is, he'd have to be, even though he's the Man of Steel, he'd have to be careful crossing streets at night.
Yeah, because his colors are so muted out, and I thought that was such a missed opportunity to, again, to show the right characterization of Superman. But then again, I guess Zack Snyder, this is what he does. He washes out this film with that grayish look ever since 300, and I think Watchmen was kind of that way as well. But it's like that's where he needs somebody to pull his reins back and say, no, let Superman be bright and colorful like the way Themyscira was in Wonder Woman. That way...
Yes, you couldn't have sold me Wonder Woman if it was filtered through the Zack Snyder lens.
Yes.
Well, and I think the part that really, I guess, bothers me is I was looking at, I was doing research for the show, and I came across an article that came out today. Here are the five ways that Warner Brothers is going to get you to care about Cyborg. And I literally just stopped and hung my head upon reading the title to that. Because there is no character in the DC lexicon that you should more instantly care about than
yes.
Cyborg.
And he's also, not a tough sell.
He's not a tough sell. And when is the last time you saw a Marvel article or a news story? Here's why you're going to care about Peter Quill. Here's what Rocket Raccoon. Here's seven things about Rocket Raccoon that are going to make you smile. Like, no, trust your writers to do that job. You don't need,
Well, I agree with you in part, but the other thing that might be lost in the midst of all that, unfortunately, is a lot of articles are written, for lack of a better term, almost for the sake of the article.
Sure.
There was an article I saw, a couple of years ago or a year or so ago, that was trying to posit that African-American actors can't get good roles. They can only get roles where they're in, like, heavy makeup or they're CG characters. And they were citing things like one of the examples was Zoe Saldana as Gamora. And it's like, okay, so you were systematically ignoring her other work within the last 3 years. And
right.
She wasn't in heavy makeup playing an equal. You're simply cherry-picking the roles that happen to feature African-American actors and actresses in this context. You're ignoring the dozens and dozens of white and Hispanic and Asian actors and actresses who, fall into that same category as far as roles, because that doesn't suit your article.
Right.
You're ignoring all the rest of their body of work, reducing their work to just what fits your article. There's a lot of that going on, too.
Well, and my...
toward what they want to say and dismiss everything else that doesn't fit.
Right.
And it's like, Your Honor, they're withholding evidence there.
Well, my initial thought to any of those articles, right, and I had the same response, if you remember back when Daredevil, right after Daredevil dropped, and the article was something to the effect of, you want some more of those sweet Daredevil episodes? And my response is always, well, you know what, if only there were 60 years of comic books where you could read about Daredevil,
Yeah, exactly.
And that's my response to this is, oh, You want five reasons? I can give you just about five decades worth of Cyborg comics that are going to make you fall in love with that character. Like, that's always been my response to those articles in the parlance of comic books, but it just struck me as really sad. Like,
yeah. That somebody felt had to sell that idea.
Right. Yeah. Right. It's just, so, PJ, anything you are you looking forward to anything here? Is there anything you're actually – are you so jaded against this now that you can't get excited when you go to buy a movie ticket for one of these movies? Because as bad as – and I'm putting this in giant air quotes.
Yeah.
As bad as these films might be in giant air quotes, we're all going to go see them. We know that.
Yeah.
There's no getting around that. So
I still haven't gone to see Suicide Squad. I want to go on record.
You should see it. You should see it. Honestly, it
sickens me. Just saying it aloud turns to ash in my mouth.
The fact that you can see it for a dollar now, and you would buy
that dollar turns to ash in my pocket.
You would buy the Amanda Waller portrayal for a dollar. I promise you that it's the best Amanda Waller I've seen on screen. If for no other reason than Amanda Waller and some of the Will Smith stuff doesn't get too over the top, a lot of it.
I guess Andrew, to answer your question, I would just say that Wonder Woman was a great turnaround for them to do that for me. The difference going to be going forward for me, though, is whether I'm going to see it opening night or whether I wait to matinee. And so right now I can say with Justice League coming out, I'm really not that interested. I'm going to go, like you said, you're correct. But the difference is, will I see it on opening night and pay full money for it? Or will I wait and go matinee and use coupons or something else to go see it, which says a lot about what I think.
I might have a BOGO, from Alamo, so I'll go there.
Yeah, so Justice League, I'll say Justice League is not night one for me. It isn't
really?
Right now it isn't, because I'm waiting to see something in the trailer that's going to be really more compelling, what this looks like with all the joking and everything that he's doing already, Aquaman and all that stuff, and everything that they've done with it. I'm in the middle place on it. I'm not against it, and I'm not for it, and maybe they'll put out a trailer, but I have a feeling when I go in there and see this movie, because I've seen all the Marvel ones, I just have a feeling like I'm going to just be able to call this out, call that out. I mean, just know everything about the movie as it's going along. But maybe they'll surprise me. Maybe they'll do something different. And it's not Warner Brothers' fault on that. It's just that Marvel knows they have a formula. They know it works. And so pretty much when you go in there, you pretty much know what you're going to get. And that kind of disappoints me a little bit. But maybe Warner Brothers will do something like they did with Wonder Woman, and they'll surprise me. But for right now, I'm kind of matinee guy right now on this.
So I got one for you, Cole.
All right. I'm ready.
So this movie... Rumor has it, all right? Rumor has it. And I think the rumor's been backed up, at least to a certain degree, that this film takes place, at least to some extent, in the Flashpoint universe. I don't know how they get there. But it takes place at least at some degree. They transfer over to a Flashpoint universe where they start talking about, well, this isn't my world, but I'm going to protect it type stuff, if you watch the trailer. And they've had conversations with the director and the writers. Are they doing that to have a built-in kill switch? Because if it's in a reboot universe, are they doing it to have a built-in kill switch to Flashpoint it and go to the new 52 if they need to?
Oh, almost certainly. I mean, it's hard to say. I have a difficult time saying that anything at Warner is planned. Because time and again they disprove any such notion. So I can't go into this thinking that anybody is playing a long game.
But here's,
even if it's a safe long game.
But here's
because
my thought.
Because they don't put thought one in anything. They just fart out DC movies.
Yeah. So imagine, if you will, that your first major DC movie, your first big ensemble movie, Cole, was Crisis on Infinite Earths, right?
Yeah.
Okay. When that movie ends, you could, theoretically, I was thinking about this today, at that point, theoretically, at the end of Crisis on Infinite Earths, you could then build a roster of movies by whoever focus grouped the best out of the movie. You could say, yep, they're the ones that made it. Everybody else died. Like, yeah. I kind of get the feeling that that's what's going to happen. Like, oh, you don't like Aquaman in this? Well, that's not the real Aquaman. That's the Flashpoint Aquaman. The real Aquaman's is blonde and rides a giant seahorse around. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
that's so true. Yeah, it does sort of have a built-in out for them.
Sad.
Whether or not that's, you know, in something that they thought about in advance, it's tough to say because they just there's no evidence that they think things like that through. But perhaps somewhere in the writing, somebody has, you know, gone and Galen Erso'd this thing.
That's a good verb. But Cole, 2019, we're getting this. Tell me you're not excited to get a Shazam movie in 2019.
Okay, the thing that is, I have this kind of love-hate relationship with Dwayne The Rock Johnson.
Mm.
I think that over time he's developed something of a skill at acting under certain circumstances. And I think that I was happy with every fanboy casting of him as Black Adam, in the same way I was happy with every fanboy casting of Danny DeVito as Penguin.
Sure.
Granted, the Penguin we got was beyond anything any of us would have imagined, which made it the better.
Right.
I think that's inspired casting. I think you do a good job about it. I'm thrilled that we are reaching a point where the concept of Shazam, of that Captain Marvel, is approachable. And that, you know, that Hollywood is saying, you know, hey, we could actually, you know, people might find this interesting. I'm kind of excited about it. I'm, but with a very, very reserved excitement.
Well, The Rock's out, by the way.
Well, hell,
The Rock
garbage for a while.
The Rock's out.
Every turned ash in my mouth.
But interviews with the director, what's the guy's name? Sandberg, I believe. He says that it's going to be lighter. He's like, it's going to be the lightest DC movie. It's the story of a kid that wants to be Superman, and you know he now gets, you know, it's every kid's dream to have superpowers and be Superman, and this kid gets to live that, and then it's you know what his trials are, you know, and living that life and grow, you know, all that crap that you get from every director when they're getting ready to put out a movie, but.
Yeah.
Without The Rock, does that change your opinion?
Not as much, or not entirely, because if we have – should this director succeed, and by succeed I mean remain attached to the project to the bitter end.
Sure.
Then I think that we could, we could see some a really good approach to this character. I think we could see a genuine – film, and I think Wonder Woman may very well be the reason we're going to get something like that.
Man, you are so jaded.
Because it's paving the way. They've got a long way to go to get back to, you know.
Yeah.
They need to lighten the color scheme a bit. They need to remember that there are hues on the other side of the color spectrum that include color.
Well, you know, what's interesting about all that, too, is that when they did try to use color, Green Lantern, anybody, and Superman Returns, they still couldn't pull off a good movie. So maybe they're just cursed. I don't know. But no, I'm with you on that. And you know what? In fact, what I think would be interesting for them, what they should tackle that Marvel hasn't yet, is they need to do the Teen Titans, right? Because we haven't seen, you know, that age group as a teen collective.
There's something coming up.
TV show.
I saw a casting for Starfire.
Yep, the TV show's coming, which I guarantee will be great.
Her actress is orange, and that guy that wrote the other article I mentioned earlier, he's got fodder for his next one.
I'm just telling you right now, that TV show is going to knock it out of the park. A, because it's a TV show. At DC, apparently, their small screen department destroys it. B, you know, it's got a really good pedigree as far as who's creating the show and who they've cast so far. Looks really, really good. I am excited. I am excited for this show. Like this for me is good. I just, DC's doing great things on TV, man. I wish that they could figure. I wish Marvel could learn from DC's TV presence, and DC could learn from Marvel's movie presence. If they could just get those two things together, they would be out of the park with it.
Yeah, and I would actually say that, you know, and not only are they killing it on TV, but they're also killing it in the comics right now, because a lot of people I'm talking to, they seem to favor the DC comics, the New 52, the Rebirth, than they are really the Marvel stuff right now. In fact, there's a lot more complaints with the Marvel stuff being a little bit too much about social justice is what people are trying to say. So it's interesting that they're winning in two areas, the comic books, you know, depending on who you talk to, and on TV, they just can't get this big screen thing right. It's just
crazy. I don't know. I've got
I think it's the Social Justice League is the one you're thinking of.
Yeah. No, I got issues with DC's comics right now. That's what I got. I got issues.
Issues, huh?
Yeah, I do. They don't need to fold the Watchmen into their main comic book universe. They made
more ash.
They made Batman at least temporarily a metahuman, which just makes my butt pucker like nobody's business. No comic book universe is ever going to be perfect, you know. And I'm not a subscriber to one side or the other.
Yeah,
you know, there are DC comics that I absolutely adore. DC writers and artists that I love. And there's new stuff coming out from DC that I think is great. I'm not a big fan of this metal thing that they're doing with Nth Metal and Other Worlds, and you can have that. I don't want to mess with that. But
it's going to bring back Hawkman and get us to love Hawkman again with the Nth Metal.
Right? Well, no, that's exactly what it is. Like, you'll remember to love Hawkman again. I didn't stop loving Hawkman, all right?
Yes, you might have, and we can't take that chance.
If you can make Aquaman cool, you can do that with fish. Why not do it with the birds?
That's true. Yeah, you made Aquaman cool. Now it's time to make Birdman cool again.
The thing is, Aquaman was already cool. It didn't need to be messed with.
Listen, Cole, this summer you'll believe a man can swim. All right?
I'll believe Khal Drogo can swim. I wanted Aquaman, not some...
Listen,
Neil Danzig.
If there's one thing, is that his brother? Neil Danzig.
It's his brother. Shut up. What the hell do I know?
I'm Glenn Danzig. Have you met my brother, Neil Danzig, DDS? no. Like, Marvel, I really like the Secret Empire stuff that's going on right now, because it you know, Captain America shouldn't be a Nazi and all this. Well, they've explained it, okay? There was some Cosmic Cube stuff happening there. They got it resolved. It ended up being pretty damn cool, because it's not about, you know, if you read it and don't just read the articles like the five reasons that we're going to love Cyborg. it's about the resistance, right? Which is what they've done plenty of times. And Marvel's always been these, with the exception of a few instances that Cole and I can speak to at length. And I'm sure PJ, you can too. The Green Lantern, the hard traveling heroes, drugs, racism issues of those comics, but Marvel's always been really social justice-y. And it's never, this isn't a departure from that, but Rebirth is absolutely killing it. Like, make no mistake, like numbers wise, they're selling a ton of books. So good for them for that. You know, they finally hit a reboot that worked for them. There's only been 30 of them up to this point. So good. Sorry, I didn't mean to soapbox there, Cole.
No, but you know, a lot of it was they picked up a lot of neo-Nazi readers.
Sure, sure.
That they didn't have before because they felt like there was some hope there, and then they pretty much dropped the title now.
That's right. That's what happened. That's why the numbers are so low. They're getting boycotted. Yeah.
We got so faked out.
So do you...
Sig fail.
Cole, do you have any final thoughts on... I'm scared to ask this question. Do you have any final thoughts on the DC films, either upcoming or what you've seen so far? I'm gonna get under the. I'm gonna get in the.
I will say position. This. I will say this. I think I'm paraphrasing from the Star Trek reboot.
Sure.
I challenge you to do better.
Mm. You're gonna Greenwood me, are you? Is that what's happening?
Not you, but
I know what you mean.
Warner.
Yeah.
I'm gonna Greenwood Warner. Yes.
Okay.
I challenge Warner to do better.
Are there?
We're probably too late. But
I feel
like throw down that. Yeah, I'm going to throw down that gauntlet because Wonder Woman disproved the theory of Warner.
Yeah.
Superhero films.
That's true.
Grossly disproved the theory, and that's the most wonderful gross disproof of something.
PJ, are there any bright spots in this for you? Is there anything there that you're looking forward to? Anything coming up? Any final thoughts for this?
Yeah, you know what I would like to see happen is I'd like to see them kind of go counterculture and instead of saying let's prop up another Batman and do the Batman, you know, hopefully maybe somewhere along the lines they'll do something with Nightwing and Red Robin and Batgirl, because I'd like to see what would happen in a world where Batman finally says I can't do it anymore. And he sits down, and they say, well, we got to take over and see what they would do, how they would work together, you know, have them kind of be more in the, you know, the teenage-y to college years. That might be something different to see. So I think if Batman's your best deal, then and you've hit your home run with Batman, then I think you go to Batman and just say, hey, what's another story we can tell? What's another thing we could do here? Can we even imagine a role without him? That might even be more fun. So I hold out hope that maybe they'll do something along that line because it seems like Batman works no matter what. And now it's like maybe Wonder Woman 2. So that's kind of what I'm hoping for with DC. And I hope that they, just take what they did with Wonder Woman, slow down, and realize, you know what, that was just great storytelling again. And I think... if they just say, you know what, we don't have to make everything super convoluted so that the third act can be so bonkers, and just calm down and get back to good storytelling, we could see a flip. Because I think right now people are getting a little stale with the Marvel, you know, formula. I mean, they still love it. They'll still go. But I'm still hearing people kind of going, you know. And so that's an opportunity for DC. So I kind of have that hope for DC, and I hope that maybe they'll do something like that with Batman.
That's a bright spot. I like that. I like that.
So I do have to ask, do either of you see a future for Commandy on the big screen?
Yes. Oh, absolutely. Are you kidding me?
I think after the Planet of the Apes franchise has done so well, what better pedigree, you know?
Listen, I think that I'm kind of not kidding here. Okay.
Okay.
I'm kind of being serious. I think that the only thing that might be able to save Warner Brothers DC films would be something either Commandy or something like Commandy. Something so unattached, something so Guardians of the Galaxy, something so off the wall that if done well could reinvigorate a crazy Doom Patrol movie. Commandy. Cole, that was a good call. That was a
What I would love to see is, like, you know, to create this weird ass alternate universe that they can, it'd be open season because you could bring in OMAC, the inspiration for the Swiss Army Wolverine Claude Omsa, the one man Swiss Army, which was a character of mine.
But you could do, I mean, there's all kinds of there. How many times did they bandy about the idea of a Booster Gold Blue Beetle movie?
Exactly.
Which
just
be
jump
brilliant.
In head first. Go for it. Do it. Make it happen. Don't be terrified of what you have.
Yeah.
Celebrate it. Put it out in front of people. Discover that even the unindoctrinated can fall in love with characters that are patently unfamiliar.
Yeah. Low to no stakes in those films. What happens if your weird I don't know. Miracle Man movie flops.
Yeah.
Nobody cares. Nobody cares. And
the guy that played Scott Free is kind of hoping to get my sweet movie deal.
Right. Well, like, sorry, you didn't. But Ben Affleck doesn't have to go on TV every third day and say he's still playing Batman in that case.
Yeah.
You know, there's no.
He just has to go on and say he's still playing Big Barda.
There's very little stakes there. So that's, you know, that's where I do think you're right, Cole. I think like a Commandy movie would be phenomenal. And I think that it would, there's no stakes, there's no ties. You put it out there, you make it happen.
Yeah, it has only the most vague connection, or can have the most vague connection to the DCU, and get away with it. And if you want to establish, yes, for the love of God, it is part of the DCU, then all you have to do is have Commandy encounter the Superman symbol.
Right. A sign for Metropolis. Like, that's it. You're done. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, I'm telling you.
Just give me my Hawkman movie. I just want my Hawkman movie, and then you can have Hawkgirl. And then bring Green Lantern back.
Okay.
And Stewart and that whole.
So, PJ, one of the things that you do is either A, fix movies, or B, pitch movies, right? Like, that's one of your things. So, pitch me, as we get out of here, we'll get out of here on this, pitch me a Hawkman movie.
All right, so here's the pitch.
No, he's got this.
Hawkman is coming in, and Hawkman's a little upset at the fact that he's kind of left out of the Justice League, and then even his own girl, because we'd have Hawkgirl be, you know, like what they did with the cartoon series. I thought that was good with Justice League Unlimited. And actually, I would think it'd be pretty cool to see what would Hawkman do. He's kicked out. The Justice League doesn't care about him that much. And his girlfriend is dating John Stewart instead. And so now what he has to do is gives us a chance to do a better Green Lantern movie, I think. We can get some really good charismatic guy to play John Stewart, and that way you can bring in Green Lantern. And then I would just have Hawkman trying to come in and trying to see what he could do to try to foil everything to stop Green Lantern from going ahead, John Stewart, and getting with Hawkgirl. And then he ends up, I don't know, going to Charlottesville. No, I'm just kidding. No, I wouldn't do that. But he wouldn't do that because we couldn't put that in the comic book. But he's just angry and he's just mad that, you know, dang it, they're taking our winged women too. And he's real upset and
they're
he's angry.
They're taking our winged women too.
Mars needs winged women.
First I get kicked out of the Justice League and they won't even let me have a chair or a seat or even keep me as a reserve. And now Green Lanterns, these other guys that can fly, take all our women. So I don't know. I think that'd be kind of funny to see what would happen if they played that up.
Would you skip the whole origin story then and go straight to the show?
I would. I would just show that it would start off with the Justice League going, and that's why you can't be with us anymore. And then it's like, I don't know why they were so freaking upset about it. I mean, I'm really for peace. I'm really not trying to cause problems. It's just that you just can't mess with a Thanagarian. He's not one of us. And so here's the story. He starts to go back and tell you in reverse, and then you see, you know, this young Green Lantern guy coming up. Hey, can I help you out? He starts putting moves on her, kind of do the Lando Calrissian on Princess Leia thing in Cloud City. You know, he's real smooth coming in, John Stewart.
let me give you a little punch up here, right? Let me give you some notes on this. So that's half the movie right there.
Yes.
Okay. Yes. The second half of the movie, the Justice League has to boom tube to Apocalypse for Darkseid business, and the only two kind of reserve, I guess, the John Stewart's on watchtower duty, right?
Mm-hmm.
But something goes down, something big, a Starro or a Brainiac or a something hits, and the only two people that can the only two people left that can fight are Hawkman and John Stewart Green Lantern, and they have to work together to defeat this thing, Riggs Murtaugh style, and that's how they become begrudgingly respectful of each other.
That's it. That's the ending part of the movie. That's where they actually become friends, and then they find out that both their moms are named Martha.
Oh, yeah. A lot of people. You wouldn't believe, I did the research, how many Marthas there were.
So many Marthas.
In the D.C. I mean, literally.
So many Marthas. That's the name of my book. So many Marthas. Damn it. Hey, PJ, you got anything you want to plug as we get out of here? Anything people should keep an eye on?
Absolutely. I'll just tell everybody to go to my YouTube channel, Vega Bomber, and check out the latest videos. I just did something on Dunkirk, and I'm about to release the best movies of 2017 so far. So they can come check me out there. And, of course, just come to Jedi Cole Blogspot and check out some of the old do-it-yourself podcasts that are on there. There's still some gold sitting in there.
That's right. Just get ready for another do-it-yourself where PJ and I write the Hawkman Green Lantern movie.
Let's do
that.
Which is
the weirdest combination.
Let's do that.
PJ, thank you again. This has been great. And again, we were remiss to overlook you, and thank you for your gracious appearance here and not holding it against us. This has been a great show. I could not have been happier with the way it turned out. Cole?
It's all good, man. Anytime. You guys let me know. Anytime. It's not hard to get me to talk about movies. Definitely superhero movies.
Careful.
Yeah.
Careful with that. We'll take
advantage.
You
gotta be careful what you wish for with these characters.
Keep doing it. You can always threaten me with a good time.
I like that. Cole, you got any? You want to plug us up out of here, and we'll let these.
Yeah,
people
we'll
go
on here. We want to thank PJ, and real quick, PJ, tell the folks where they can find you or your podcast efforts, the Home of the Foskers.
The Home of the Foskers. So once again, it is on the Vega Bomber channel on YouTube. So go and check that out.
And also, if you dig deep enough in the archives of the Jedi Cole universe, you can check out the Vega Bomber and Juice talking about how they would improve your favorite films on Do It Yourself. We're hoping we can get that back up and running again. And we're going to get a lot of shows back running again here on the JCU. And, of course, being the Jedi Cole universe at JediCole.com. And we're also going to be finding you can find me and Eddie Medina and me at DallasOnAir.com the first and third Sundays of the month from 10:30 a.m. to 11:30 a.m. Central, the Rancor Pit Live, and alternating right before, 1 hour before, 9:30 to 10:30 a.m. Central on the first Sundays of the month. I hope I said Sundays on that first blurb. First Sundays of the month right before the Rancor Pit Live, Eddie and Colleen Medina on Figments. They have a new live show that is spun off from their recorded show on the Jedi Cole Universe. And on the third Sundays of every month, right before Rancor Pit Live, do you see a theme here? You have my brand new show, Isle of Toys, where the first episode is already up on the archive at DallasOnAir.com on the Isle of Toys show page. So you can check that out. We'll be back again in September, where we talk about the rise of the action figure.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And there's also an Isle of Toys Instagram page now, which I'm learning how to use. And, of course, we have Twitter, at the Jedi Cole U. I'm starting to get back into doing a little tweeting now and whenever possible. And just, you know, check it all out because there's a lot going on at the JCU. Big stuff coming up for this show, for the future of the JCU. Mm-hmm. All kinds of cool stuff coming down the pike. And I couldn't be more thrilled. I wish I could be more thrilled about the upcoming DC movies, but I'm not.
For more on the big news that we have and for more on all the shows that we're going to be doing here on Hey Kids Comics, you can hit us up on Twitter at HK Comics Show. You can also hit us up on Instagram at, I believe, the same title. I am unprepared for Instagram. I believe it is the same. Or you can just search for hashtag HKC. You can find us that way. Or hashtag Jedi Cole Universe. All the pictures are hashtag that way. It's going to be easy to find us that way. All right. We're going to get out of here now. Next week, we're coming back to talk about I'm really excited about next week's show. We're talking about movies, comic book movies that aren't necessarily related to comic books. or at least tangentially related to comic books. This is going to be cool because I get to talk about Darkman, and anytime I get to talk about Darkman, I'm happy. Yeah. Anytime I get to talk about Liam Neeson's, you know how happy Cole and I get when we talk about our Liam Neeson's now. all right, everybody. Say goodnight, everybody. We're going to get out of here.
Good night, everybody. And don't, if you're in New York, if you're on Manhattan Island, don't miss out on the off-Broadway hit starring our own Andrew Farmer.
Oh, God.
Sweet Little Boots, Sweet Little Pockets.
If that
doesn't make sense to you, that's your best reason to go check out Isle of Toys.
Damn it.
On DallasOnAir.com.
Damn it. This is going to be my legacy.
There it is.
This is going to be my legacy. Sweet Little Boots, Sweet Little Pockets. Yeah. All right. Good night, everybody. Join us next week for more Hey Kids Comics.
Good night, everybody.
Good night, Sweet Boots.
Oh, God. Bye.